Our scripture text this evening is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 21 and through 23. This is based on an article I wrote for the Aquila Report a year or two ago, and I preached, I think, over 30 years, maybe one time, maybe twice on the topic, but we're going to look at it again here this evening. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Let's hear the reading of the Word of God. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companion of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be instructed. Sometimes it's not always easy to know what is right and wrong. But your word is forever true, and it does not change. And help us to be guided by your truth and understanding these important things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last year, Brenda and I were returning home from a trip to Charlotte, visiting our family. We stopped at a gas station just outside of Asheville, North Carolina. And she was going into a small convenience store at the gas station and asked me if there was anything I wanted. I said, yeah, give me a Reese's cup. I love a Reese's cup. We don't bring sweets home, and so when we're out, we take advantage of being out. And on a trip, you feel a little freer to do such things. And she handed it to me, and I noticed how small it was. Actually, there were two pieces. Two small cups, and I could swallow each of them with one gulp. One swallow, and that was it. It's gone. Then I asked her how much she paid for them, and I don't remember exactly what she said. Probably was $1, $1.50. I said, what? For those Reese cups? I remember when the Reese cup was bigger. It took two bites, maybe three, to eat it, and the cost was, I remember, 25 cents. Some of you may remember when they were 10 cents. What has happened? Does this have anything to do with religion? I dare say it does. The quality of the Reese cup is no better. They taste the same today as they did 50 years ago. Peanut butter, chocolate. We pay more, but we get less. And if you ask most people why, they couldn't tell you. Most people don't know, and most people don't care. I was speaking with some elders in a PCA church recently. One of them had bought a new car, and they were comparing prices. New cars. I don't remember what he paid for the car, maybe $30,000, maybe less. And he said, well, you know, back in the 60s, I could have gotten this car for $7,000. And they began to talk about the prices of things. And I simply said I didn't want to go into a discussion of why that's true. I simply said, well, a dollar used to go a lot further than it goes today. And we all said, yeah, and we walked away. That was it. So I don't think any of them had any idea or inkling what has happened. I remember buying milk. My mother would send me to the store and buying milk. $1.29. Sometimes it was 79 cents a gallon. back in the 50s, 60s. What do you pay today? Depends on where you're buying, I guess. $3 or $4. I remember when going to a movie in our little town was 25 cents. And on bargain night on Wednesdays, you could go for 10 cents. Today, what does it cost? I'm not sure. We haven't been to a movie in a while. Senior citizen, you get a discount, $7, $8, $9. I'm not sure what they are. I remember when a home, maybe cost $20,000. I think my dad paid $17,000 for his home. He paid cash. The Depression generation didn't go into debt for anything. You only bought a home when you saved up the cash, and then you bought it. Today, a home, maybe, what is it? $150,000, $200,000? What has happened? In some cases, the quality is better, but in some cases, the quality hasn't changed. I'm not sure the quality of milk has changed at all. The quality of the movie is probably going downhill. Some people have been taught to think that it's simply part of evolution. You know, it's just part of the progression of life. Prices increase by some natural force in nature. But actually, it's an old trick. It's a trick. Since the fall of Adam, in the old days, Isaiah calls it dilution. Today we're a little more sophisticated and we call it inflation. But the point is, the Bible views it as theft, deceit, unjust weights and measures. Now in Isaiah chapter 1, the people of Israel are in rebellion against God. We see that in verse 21, how the faithful city has become a harlot, she who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Not only murderers, but thieves. Now notice how this verse 22 comes in the presence and between. Thieves and bribes, not defending orphans, widows, murderers, no justice. No righteousness. One of the signs, a very serious sign, is the theft, which is used by way of tricking, deceiving people. Verse 22, your silver has become dross. Now, dross is a waste in purifying metals. Usually there's always some waste in metals that's found in a natural state. You can heat it up and melt the silver away from the dross. The dross sometimes is that murky, mucky top of, that's on the water, portion that's on the top of the water. That's really worth nothing. We scoop it up and throw it away. We get rid of it. Now the trick was that moneymakers would leave dross in the silver, or they would put some type of impurities into the silver, and they would have some extra silver left. It wouldn't be 99% pure, as typically it might have been. They would take the extra silver and make more money. Jeremiah speaks of it in Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 1. He says, how your gold has become dim. Dim gold. It means it's not as pure as it used to be. People are getting less gold and getting now gold mixed with impurities. Dr. Morton Smith wrote a book, How Your Gold Has Become Dim, in tracing the decline of the Southern Presbyterian Church, and certainly it was an appropriate topic, appropriate name. But I think really, Jeremiah was speaking about the real gold, the real stuff. He was talking about hard money. And so what you can do is you can replace the silver, at least inside where people can't see it, with impurities. You could put copper inside. You could put bronze inside. And people would never know. Also, in verse 22, he says, your drink has been diluted with water. You can add things, you can add water to things and stretch the quantity. You know, sometimes when people are invited after church to go home with somebody, they're having soup, they always say, what? We can put some more water in the soup, right? We can stretch it. That's okay. But another trick here, this is a trick, it's a deceptive trick, it's theft, is that you can add water to a liquid and dilute it, and it becomes worth less, even though people think it's the same. You can make Kool-Aid or lemonade. Let's say 2 packs of lemonade to a gallon of water for $5. And somebody comes along and says, well, let's just add 1 pack of lemonade to a gallon of water and sell it for $5. And then we can take the other pack and make another gallon of lemonade and sell it for $5, and we'll be making $10 off of 2 packs and 1 gallon of water. We'll double our income, double our revenue, until people begin to see that it doesn't quite taste the same. Now, you can fool people for a while, but eventually they're going to say, this tastes like water more than it does lemonade. But until that point, you can make a lot of money. Make a lot of money, go out of business. The quality goes down and the profits go up. And Isaiah says that's exactly what Israel did. That was part of the theft that they were bringing on their people, and they would be judged for it. Now, let's go back to the Reese cup. Again, what has changed? Well, the size of the Reese cup is smaller. There's a word economists use for that. It's called stealth inflation, S-T-A-L-T-H, hidden inflation. Sometimes you don't want to raise the prices, and you can simply reduce the quality or the quantity of the product. For example, a bar of soap. Have any of you ever noticed lately how you buy a bar of soap? It used to be a rectangle or a square rectangle, but now it's got this little cut in it. You can hold it with your hand better. That's for your convenience. You know what that's for? That's to reduce the quantity of the soap and to sell it for the same price. Toilet tissue. I read an article on toilet tissue. You know, preachers don't do this too much, but sometimes you do. An article on toilet tissue. A toilet tissue doesn't go as far as it used to. It's thinner than it used to be. And so you can try to keep the price the same by reducing the quantity or the quality. Now, major industry, I'm sure Eastman, they have standards that they have to go by. They've got books, they've got engineers who define the standards and watch the standards and test the standards. But in the marketplace, especially in groceries and things like that, it doesn't always work that way. But the real problem with the Reese cup was not so much that it was smaller, but the real problem was not that the Reese cup had changed so much, but it was that the value of the money had changed. The value of the dollar had changed. See, I think I have a dollar here. This is a picture sermon tonight. Show what is it? Show me or something in school? Show and tell, that's what it is. See, there's a dollar bill. It's got George Washington. Right now it has George Washington. I'm not sure how long he'll be on there. But right now he's on there. And if I use this to buy a Reese cup, and the Reese cup is about the same as I used to buy 50 years ago, what I could buy for a dime now costs me a dollar. What's changed? The value of this thing has changed. This is economics 101, right? The value of the dollar has changed. You could buy 10 cans of Pepsi. Not that you would want to do that necessarily, for a dollar. Today you can buy one can of Pepsi, maybe in some places, for a dollar. You can get them cheaper than that, but a dollar. The quality and the quantity of the Pepsi hasn't really changed. What has changed? The value of the dollar has changed. It's worth only, let's say, 10% what it used to be worth. What a dime would buy back in the 50s, it takes a dollar to get it now. You know what I believe? I think that's intentionally done. It's intentional. It's not evolution. It's not progress. It's intentional. And it's the same thing that was being done here in Isaiah. Your silver has become dross. It's become almost worthless. And your drink has been diluted with water. It's not lemonade anymore. It's water that tastes a little bit like lemon. And you're doing this intentionally. And basically what you're doing is you're taking from the orphan and the widow. Inflation, putting air in a balloon, making it a lot bigger than it really is. The value of a dollar used to be tied to the value of gold. Another thing you learn about in economics. One of the best little books I read was Honest Money by Gary North. I taught it in a summer camp to the young people in this church many years ago. I may have taught it in Sunday school here, I'm not sure. But these things used to be called gold or silver certificates, which meant you could go to the bank and you could say, I want a dollar's worth of gold. Because gold and silver were basically what money was. Even in the Constitution of the United States, gold and silver defined as money. Actually, in the 1792, I just checked this in history, 1792, the United States Congress passed a law that said if you debase gold, if you debase the gold dollar or silver dollar, the penalty is death. And I can show you that. If you don't believe me, go Google it if you want to Google it. It's there, 1792. The penalty is death. You don't manipulate the money. You don't play with the money because it is theft. It is stealing. So there was a point where you could take this and exchange it for gold. Most people would take gold. And as long as you could exchange it for gold, gold that was pure, basically pure, 97.7% pure, then everybody was happy. But what happened? Well, in the 1940s, the United States government passed a law that you can't take this to the bank and get gold anymore. It's illegal. Matter of fact, if you had any gold, you use it as money, you need to turn it into the government. 1940s. I won't name the president. I won't name the date or the time. Dr. O'Rourke, who's really an expert on this issue. He's more so than I am. He taught we had a class here one time downstairs, a men's group, and he taught gave an excellent lecture on money and um, he mentioned this, that it became illegal to exchange a dollar for gold, or $10 or $100. And his question was, how in the world did the church ever let that happen and not say anything? You can ask him, send him an email if you want to, and he'll give you a long lecture about that. We were on the gold standard. Then in 1970s, and I won't tell you which president it was, which Congress it was, the government said, we're no longer on a gold standard. You can't get this for gold, and it's not based on the value of gold. It's called fiat or fiat money. It's like antiques. You can make as many as you want to. So there's no standard for money, which means there's no limits on how much they can make. They can print as many as they want to, and there's no limit. If there's a certain amount of gold, then they can only print so much dollars, because people will go and exchange that money for gold. But once you tell people you can't exchange it for gold, then they can start printing as much as they want to, and that's what they did. Wrapping up the printing press, which is really not a printing press anymore. It's computers with digital electrical impulses. But the government learned there is no limit to how much we can make of these things. And so they just kept making them and making them and making them. And the value goes down, down, down to the point where what I could buy for 10 cents now costs me a dollar. That's why a Reese cup costs a dollar or a dollar and a half, depends on where you buy it. A can of Pepsi, which used to cost 10 cents, costs a dollar. A car, which used to cost maybe 7,000, now may cost 30,000. There's a reason for that, and it's not a good reason. It's called unrighteousness. It's the next thing following murder. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, 22, and it's also equal to stealing, verse 23. Thieves, bribes, chasing after rewards, and it's also equal to not taking care of the orphan and the widow. Now here's the game. Here's the game. And even Social Security realizes the game. The game is that money is worth less every year. So what does Social Security do for those of us who get Social Security? They give us a cost of living raise every year. COLA, cost of living adjustment. And if you work for a company, you expect some kind of increase in salary every year just to keep up with inflation. And so the game is, we know they're doing it. We don't mind as long as you increase my salary. If the value of money goes down, just give me more of it and we'll come out even. Well, the problem with that is that not everybody gets an increase in their salary or their income. There are widows, for example, who get pensions that are worth less and less every year. I remember after my father died, my mother got his pension. And after about 10 or 20 years ago, it was like, this is what your pension is? I don't remember what it was, maybe $100 a month, you know? And every 10 years, it goes down in value. What can you buy with $100? When my dad got the pension, that was a lot of money. But by the time she grew old, she was a widow, and somebody had stolen her money. Deception. It's a trick. And eventually, tricks are something that people learn about what others are doing. Greece is an example. of the trick. The government was playing a trick, but it caught up with them. Now they're safe for a while, unless you're in Greece. Be thankful you're not a Greek citizen. Be thankful that when you go to the bank, they say you can only have $60 a week. That you don't have to face that. You see, it always comes back on us. Now, I don't know when it will happen. I think it could be years. But we'll pay for it. The people will pay for it. Because we have disobeyed God's word. The Bible says that when we have scales that measure weight and standards, we must be very careful that there are that we are people of integrity. I'll conclude here with just a few passages. Used to be when you made a trade, you had scales like maybe you used in a chemistry lab, and they had two platforms and a little zero in the middle, and you put 5 pounds on this side, and you put 5 pounds on this side, and the scale pointer goes to zero, and you know you've got 5 pounds on each side. Well, what happened in the Old Testament, and this clearly happened, was that people would carry their scale, their weights with them. They carry in their pockets a 5 pound weight, maybe 10, maybe 100, maybe 50 pounds, who knows. And they would go to buy wheat or sell wheat, or even, let's see, either buying or selling. If they bought wheat, they would have a weight that said 5 pounds on it. They put it on one side, and you put, well, if they sold wheat, let's put it that way, if they sold wheat, they put a 5 pound weight, and then you would put your grain on the other side until it reached 5 pounds, and you're getting money for 5 pounds of grain. Well, what happened was that people began to carry around weights that said 5 pounds, but they really only weighed 3 pounds. You know, they could change the weight. And they began to deceive people and to take their grain or was unjust. 5 pounds was really 3 pounds. Instead of getting money for 5 pounds, you were getting money for 3 pounds. And this is clearly taught in the scriptures. Let me just read you a few passages, and we'll close with that, just about close. Leviticus 19:35, and again, this is simply cheating. Leviticus 19:35. Let's see. You shall do no wrong in judgment in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights. A just ephah, a just hin, I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. So when it says 5 pounds on it, it should be 5 pounds. If it says a gallon on the jug, it should be a gallon, not a half a gallon, or 90% of a gallon. Because that's cheating, that's stealing. And in ungodly societies, that becomes the norm. Deuteronomy 25:13. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verse 13, you shall have in your bag, you shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure. That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. If a nation wants to live a long life, then we need to have justice in our weights and measures. When you go to the gasoline station, you get a gallon of gas because the Tennessee Department of Agriculture has tested that gas and measured it. And when it says 1 gallon, it's actually 1 gallon. Amos chapter 8. Just two more passages here. Let's see. Book of Amos. chapter 8, verse 4 and 6. Hear this, you who trample the needy, to do away with the humble of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may open the wheat market, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales, so as to buy the helpless for money and the needy for a pair of sandals, and that we may sell the refuse of the wheat. We're going to give them the cheap stuff, but charge them the value of the really good material. And then, of course, the book of Proverbs speaks about, at least on two occasions, that we must have just weights and measures. Now, why does a Reese cup at a convenience store, you can get them cheaper at other places, but a convenience store cost a dollar, dollar and a half, and you get less? It's because not the Reese cup, the value of the Reese cup, it still tastes the same. It's because the value of the dollar has changed. And the value of the dollar has changed intentionally. People know what they're doing. You need to know what they're doing, because we always pay a price for sin, and the day will come when we will pay for what we are doing. May God give us wisdom to understand the importance. This is religion. This is not politics. This is not economics. This is religion. This is God's law and God's way. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And people are tempted to falsehood as they measure and as they weigh, as they produce certain qualities, but yet it's not the quality that the buyer thinks it is. And especially the widow and the orphan suffer the most. Oh Lord, forgive us for our sins. Help us to learn. There's much to learn. Help us to learn that we might seek to be a godly nation and a godly people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.